Hello, Roman Nancy, Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, Libertyville, Texas. Today is July 17, 2016, or it's 8-14, 2020. We'll start our first service today with a song entitled, It Is No Secret. The times have come and rang, after news another day is true. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for other strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened. Oh, I bring the hope to you. It is no secret what y'all can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what y'all can do. There is no night, but in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you, warrior is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what y'all can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what y'all can do. Mount Zion, 11th Hour, Part 2. We're on page 30, Track 8 by V.T. Hoddup. We're going to do a prayer thought taken from Micah 7. Said, woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. For the prince asketh, and the judge asketh for reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desires. So they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and of thy visitation cometh now, shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a God. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Yahweh. I will wait for the Yahweh of my salvation. My Elohim will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Yahweh shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Yahweh, because I have sinned against Him, until He plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold His righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it. And shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is the Yahweh thy Elohim? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets, in the day that thy walls are to be built, and that day shall the decree be far removed. In that day also he shall come even unto thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortress, even unto the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doing. Feed thy people with thy rod the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old, according unto the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nation shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Yeshua, our Savior, and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? It's talking about who is a human God, a Baal, or somebody that people have set up as a God. But who is a Yahweh like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth unto Jacob and the mercy unto Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Okay, that says about everything we need to know about where we go from here. And this should be a prayer thought that can be read just about every day for the leaders of Yahweh's kingdom. It could very well be read every day. All right. Page 30, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. And we're going to continue on. I thought we're going to do just a little review from our last study on Mount Zion at the 11th hour. It says, in the parabolical purview of the purification of the church, Yahshua declared, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, Matthew 13:49. Now, how do they do that? They do that by the Spirit. Okay? So it comes to the place where when it gets right down to the very, very time for this to happen, it's going to be that you can't even trust the one in your bosom. If the one in your bosom is not following the laws of the kingdom as you know them and as you're preaching them to be, well, then that's what it's talking about. The Holy Spirit knows which ones are to be severed. They know which one in their heart is rebellious and won't obey all the laws of the kingdom. Okay? And that's why it's the work of the Holy Spirit to do this severing. Take away the wicked and leave the good. Whereas in the Revelation addressing his own in Babylon, he says, come out of her, my people, Revelation 18:4, calling the righteous out and leaving the wicked in. Now, I've already been through this once, being called out from among the wicked. And actually, I've been through it twice. I was called out of the Adventist Church to join Brother Johnson in 1970. That was a calling out from the wicked. And then I was called out in 2002 from the Adventist Church again. Rhoda Johnson's extension of the Adventist Church, Gilead Center. And he was the angel of the candlestick of Laodicea. So that makes it an extension of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So I was called out twice out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Because in essence, that's all Brother Johnson ended up with, was the three angels' messages and a failed ministry. And so I was called out from there. Second time. And so I know what it means to be called out from among the wicked. Okay. So he's saying that the next calling out is going to be calling out of Babylon. Come out from among the wicked there and come into my purified kingdom. That's what we're in the process of doing right now, setting up this purified kingdom. Okay. So it says, come out of her, my people, Revelation 18:4, calling the righteous out and leaving the wicked in. For the former are purified by the wicked being cast out from among them. So that's how I was purified in two steps before. But I wasn't 100% purified from all sin. For I didn't know how to be. But I do know that when you sign and cry for all the abominations, that Yahweh will reward you by calling you out and showing you the next best place to come into. And then he'll call you out from there, and he'll bring you into the next best place for you to come into. As long as you continue signing and crying for the abominations, he will do that. And as I read to you yesterday, I pressed that in Matthew chapter 5, the last verse. Be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And you come through all these processes and all these steps of purification. And I just read to you in the prayer thought in Micah 7. It said, three feeding pastures, let them feed in Carmel, in Bashan, and Gilead, as in time of old. Those three feeding pastures. Okay. The former are purified by the wicked, being cast out from among them, the latter by their being taken out from among the wicked. Also there are two distinct parables of the talents, Matthew 25:15-30 and Luke 19:13 and through 27. And I give you a sermon. My last sermon was based on Matthew 25 and Luke 19. Both of which pointedly enter the picture in its present city. And the one are three servants, and the other are 10 servants. This significant difference shows that the former has only a local application, whereas the latter has a worldwide application. Okay, so now the former, you had Matthew 25. In the latter, you had Luke 19, which had the 10. Matthew 25 had the three servants. Okay, that's what we were dealing with down in Kermit, was those three servants in Matthew 25, because that was a local situation. And that's where our first judgment began at the house of Yahweh, was with those three servants of Matthew 25. Okay. It says, the latter has a worldwide application, incidentally showing, as does the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2, page 85 and 86, that in the Scriptures, number 10 stands for universality and number 3 for the Trinity in the Church. Okay, so the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know if I go along with that so much, the three standing for the Trinity in the Church. Well, the Bible don't teach the Trinity, first and foremost. And so, if you're going to say those three servants stand for the Trinity, then you have to say they stand for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I think that this is an oversight on V.P. Hodder's part. I think it throws everybody off when they try to figure out, well, who are those three servants? If they're local, who are they? If they're not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I can tell you that. So the parable says it's three people put in charge of his kingdom that he left in charge of his kingdom. Alright, let's go on. Now we're going to take off where we left off yesterday. From our last sermon. We're going to pick up now on page 30, and it says, these unalterable truths of the type and parable and the word of his testimony brings us face to face with the solemn reality that we are come unto the time of the antiphonal Passover and cleansing of the temple and unto the harvest of the world. For the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, the spirit of Elohim, bids us with awful solemnity, get ready, get ready, get ready. For the fierce anger of the Yahweh is soon to come. His wrath is to be poured out, unmixed with mercy, and ye are not ready. Rend the heart and not the garment. Early Writings, page 119. And let no one be misled into thinking that after the close of probation, or after the second coming of Yahshua, after the sinners in the world have been destroyed, Elohim's church shall attain unto the exalted standard of the character, and unto the high office appointed of heaven, and be purified from sin and sinners. On the contrary, in that day, before the sinners in the world have been destroyed, says Yahweh, will I make Yerushalayim a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, or all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day shall the Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of David shall be as the Elohim, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Yerushalayim. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Yahweh, and the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Yahweh, Yahshua the host. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein, and in that day there shall be no more a Canaanite in the house of Yahshua the host. Zechariah 12, 3, 8 and 9, and Zechariah 14, 20 and 21. Well, it looks like that's what's happening today in the world. The nations that have burdened themselves with Jerusalem are receiving their punishment. And it looks like every day, and it looks like the police force in America is receiving their punishment. They have long... overbearingly punished people in this country. The police they don't have that authority, but they take the power of the gun and they discriminate and go after especially the minorities, black people, and so now it's coming home to roost on them. And they are in consternation today, the police are. Every day you have the police being hunted like a wild animal. Every day, you never know where it's going to strike. The news today, three police officers shot down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And seven injured by gunfire. Somebody opened fire on officers where there was at least 10 of them, and they killed 3 of them and wounded the other 7. And so these people are appearing out of nowhere with guns. And the policemen, they can't watch their back. They're afraid now to go out their doors. Now the police department go get in their cars. They're afraid. They're getting where they're paranoid. They're afraid to do anything. Well, they brought it upon themselves. And so, we know what's going to happen. Police have joined the military anyway. They've been trained by the military. So it's going to become, they're going to pull in the military. They're going to pull in the tanks. And they're going to pull in all of the artillery that you use out on the battlefield against the enemy. And they're going to pull them into the streets of our cities. And they're going to have to engage the enemy, which is primarily the black people. And the black people, they didn't ask for this, but the black people are rising up now. And so instead of Obama sympathizing with the black people and telling them to go burn down the city, he's going to have to tell them, come under control, or the police is going to have to turn on you, and with the military, we're going to have to wipe you out, one or the other. So, the black people, more notably, are in consternation themselves today. And I understand why, too. Because I'm in sympathy with the black people. And I know how the police treats any race. They treat white people just as bad as they do black people. But it's more notable in the black community. Okay. These verses especially declare that the church will be as Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. During the time of the trouble, when the nation shall gather against her, and the Yeshua in vengeance shall then smite them, probation still lingering while the sequence of events takes place, all they that sacrifice, parentheses, an act which is performed before the close of probation. What do you mean, sacrifice? But when you go and read about Yeshua's sacrifice that he made, that's a sacrifice it's talking about. Those that come up to the daily worship third hour and the ninth hour of the day, those that come at those two appointed sacred hours, that's coming to the sacrifice on a daily basis. So those that recognize those hours, and the sacrifice is the blood of Yahshua and the first apartment of the heavenly sanctuary that is yet available for the sinner and for those who have need of any kind of blessing. He's there at those sacred hours to receive your petition and to grant to you whatever is needed. If you need pardon of sin, if you need his blood to cover some sin that you're repenting of, well, then he's there for that. If you come there without sin, but yet you want to come there and make a thank offering, or if you want to make a praise offering, well, he's there to receive that as well. So whatever your need is, that's what he's there for. That's what it's called, a sacrifice. Okay, it shall therefore be holy, and there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Yahweh. Every true Bible student knows that the church must reach this purity of the heart and character and position, not after, but before Yahshua's mediatorial work is finished, and before the sacrifice has ceased. For that sacrifice simply means that he's the only sacrifice for mankind today. And he's there at the appointed times on a daily basis, so you can avail yourselves of that until you reach perfection. And then after you reach perfection, you still have to avail yourself of those sacred hours, because you've got others that has to be taught the meaning of the sacred hours and what they're there for. Have ceased. All such students know also that Elohim can neither manifest his great power to defend them in the time in which all the people of the earth gather them together against them, nor bestow his Spirit upon them as he did upon the early Christians on the day of the Pentecost. If there are sinners among his people, and if the entire church be not with one accord, Acts 2:1, clad in the armor of Yahshua's righteousness, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners, as was the apostolic church upon which the Spirit descended as a rushing mighty wind, Acts 2:2, only those, says the Spirit of the prophecy, who have withstood and overcome temptation through the strength of the Mighty One, will be permitted to act a part in the proclaiming of this message when it shall have swelled into the loud cry. Review in the Herald, November 19, 1908. That the loud cry fail not to sound on time or at all. Those who do not overcome, those who had betrayed their trust, the ancient men, are those unto whom Elohim had given great light and who had stood as guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, must be removed. So he removed Rolla Johnson. First he removed Ben Roden in 1970. He removed Rolla Johnson in 2003. And then he removed Alan DeLong, because he was called to be a leader as well. He removed him in 2014 from our midst here. Okay, so this is forcibly set forth by the prophet's illustration of the last work under the figure of the man, each having a slaughter weapon in his hand. Testimonies, Volume 3, page 266. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Volume 5, page 211. Confronted with the towering certainty of the church's imminent purification, sealing, and subsequent glory, we hasten to face the church's condition just before the purification. Now, when it's talking about the church's condition just before the purification, it's talking about the Adventist church as a whole, just before the 144,000 comes forth, because when they come forth, that will indicate that the church had been purified. What greater deception can come upon the human mind than the confidence that they are right? When they are all wrong, the message of the true witness finds the people of Yahweh in a sad deception, yet honest in that deception. They know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of Yahweh. While those addressed are flattering themselves that they are in an exalted spiritual condition, the message of the true witness breaks their security by the startling denunciation of their true condition of the spiritual blinder, poverty and wretchedness. The testimony so cutting and severe cannot be a mistake, for it is a true witness who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. Testimony, Volume 3, page 252 and 253. Who can truthfully say our gold is tried in the fire? Our garments are unspotted by the world. I saw our instructor pointing to the garments of the so-called righteousness. Stripping them off, he laid bare the defilement beneath. Then he said unto me, can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up the defilement and rottenness of character? How is the faithful city becoming harder? My Father's house is made a house of merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause there is weakness and strength is lacking. Volume 8, page 250. Of the testimony. For the ancient men, those unto whom Elohim had given great light, and who had stood as guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, had betrayed their trust. Now, Sister White is indicting the Seventh-day Adventist ministers that were in her time. And those that had, they said the had means a past tense. So, in 1888, 1890, Yahweh sent a message to the Adventists. The leadership, the self-appointed leadership, not Yahweh's leadership, but those General Conference officers and president of the General Conference were self-appointed leaders. And they had invaded the Adventist Church, and by a force of power, they took over the Adventist Church. They were uninvited, but they invited themselves. They got into the rank and file of the Adventists, into our school system, and they rose up through the ranks, and then one day they appeared as an army of people to take over the Adventist Church. So it's those Jesuits that infiltrated the Adventist Church by the hundreds, by the thousands, and then whenever it came time for the takeover, they had risen up into the ranks of leadership in their prospective churches where they were brought up in, and the schools and universities, and whenever they rose to the ranks as leaders, and then they showed their hand. And so this is who Ellen G. White was talking about. Those people that had deceptively infiltrated the church, pretending that they were believers and converted to the Adventist doctrine, come in and said, "Oh, I'll keep your Sabbath. Oh, yes, I'll believe in the three angels' messages. I'll teach Ellen G. White. Oh, yes, I'll accept Ellen G. White as your prophet. And I'll go and let me be a student in your school, though, so I can learn all about your doctrines and all about the Adventist Church. And then one day I'll emerge as a bright and shining star, and you'll appoint me as a leader. And then I'll show my true self after I become a leader in your church. I will show you that I'm really not an Adventist at all. I'm just an infiltrator that has been sent there by Satan to infiltrate you and to like Rome did to the apostolic church in the first century. They went and infiltrated the Christian movement that was followers of Yahshua, that kept the feast days and Sabbath days and all the holy days. And said, "Oh, boy, yeah, we'll accept your Christ. We'll accept him. Sure we will. And we'll teach your doctrine of the sanctuary. Sure we will. Then once we get in there and get mightier than you and bigger than you and take over the leadership position, then we'll force you to water down your doctrine, and we'll force you into finally giving up everything you held so as true, and then you'll slip with us back into Rome again." And that's exactly what they did. So by 538 A.D., Rome had accomplished her purpose. From the first century, took her 500 years to accomplish her mission. But she did, and that's what started the Dark Ages and the Inquisition, and that's what started the persecution of the Christians that had to go underground if they wanted to live and survive. Many of them didn't live. Many of them were killed. Probably over 200 million during that 1260 years from 538 to 1798. They were murdered. They were destroyed. They were hunted down like animals. Okay, so that's what happens when you let these enemy come into your ranks with false pretenses of, "Oh, I want to join you and become a member of your church." So you see what happens when the watchmen on the walls of Zion let down their guard and say, "Oh, well, come on over, yeah. That's what we're here for, is to convert our people that don't believe like we do. Yeah, you want to come and join us? Sure, we'll let you join us. We'll teach you. You can join us, and we'll teach you after you join us." No, you teach them before they join you. Okay? And then if they accept you before they join your teaching, then that's a different story. All right, let's go on. Now, these dumb dogs, let's see, for the ancient men, those unto whom Elohim had given a great light, and who had stood as guardians of the spiritual interest of the people who had betrayed their trust. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. That's what happened at Tremeth. The ancient men before the house, brothers of Johnson, was the first one to feel the stroke of his wrath when Yahweh started the judgment at the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17. And then the angels, those six men from the way of the higher gate, Ezekiel 9, then they started doing their work. One man with the writer's ink horn by his side that was dressed in linen, he went first to the city and marked everybody signing the prophecy of all the abomination, and then he sent the five angels with the slaughtering weapons after that to slay all of those who didn't have a mark on their foreheads. So that's what we call the purification of the Adventist church, when Ezekiel 9 is finished doing his work. Let's go ahead. It is difficult for those who feel secure in their attainments and who believe themselves to be rich in the spiritual knowledge to receive the message which declares that they are deceived and in the need of every spiritual grace. The unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Volume 3, page 253. There are many who do not have the discretion of Joshua, and who have no special duty to search out wrongs and to deal promptly with the sins existing among them. Let not such hinder those who have the burden of this work upon them. Let them not stand in the way of those who have this duty to do. Some make it a point to question, doubt, and find fault, because others do the work that Elohim has not laid upon them. These stand directly in the way to hinder those upon whom Elohim has laid the burden of reproving and correcting prevailing sin, that his frown may be turned away from his people. Should a chase like Achan's be among us, there are many who will accuse those who might act the part of Joshua in searching out the wrong of having a wicked fault-finding spirit. Elohim is not to be trifled with, and his warnings disregarded with impunity by a perverse people. Elohim's displeasure is upon his people, and he will not manifest his power in the midst of them while sins exist among them and are fostered by those in the responsible position. Those who work in the fear of Elohim to rid the church of hindrances and to correct grievous wrong, that the people of Elohim may see the necessity of abhorring sin and may prosper in purity, and that the name of Elohim may be glorified, will ever meet with the resisting influences from the unconsecrated Zeph. Zephaniah thus describes the true state of this class and the terrible judgment that will come upon them. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their leaves, that say in their hearts that Yahweh will not do good, neither will it do evil. The great day of the Yahshua is near, it is near, and hastens greatly, even the voice of the day of the Yahshua. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. When a crisis finally comes, as it surely will, and the other hand speaks in behalf of his people, those who have sinned, those who have been a cloud of darkness and who have stood directly in the way of Elohim's working for his people, may become alarmed at the length they have gone in murmuring and in bringing a discouragement upon the cause. And like Achan, becoming terrified, they may acknowledge that they have sinned, but their confessions are too late and are not of the right kind to benefit themselves, although they may relieve the cause of Yahweh. Those who have been nearly all their lives controlled by a spirit as foreign to the spirit of Yahweh as was Achan's will be very passive when the time comes for the decided action on the part of all. They will not claim to be on either side. That's page 270 to 272. I'm not sure what book I'm reading from. I'm quoting from Ellen G. White there. That's volume 3 of the Testimonies. Okay. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true Christian. But this is not the case. Elohim has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Elohim has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality. But today the purification of the church will hasten on apace. Elohim will have a people pure and true. And the mighty sifting soon to take place, we shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. The signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest, that his fame is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. So, who have trusted the intellect, genius, or talent, will not then stand in the head of rank and file. They did not keep pace with the light. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. In the last solemn of work, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and he cannot use them. Yahweh has faithful servants who, in the shaking, testing time, will be disposed of you. There are precious ones now hidden, who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you. But it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior that the pure brightness of a genuine Christian character will be revealed. Volume 5, page 80-81. For the foregoing series of the statements show that the church must be cleansed before the rest of Elohim's people are gathered. That's talking about the Gentiles. Out of all countries. Then in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, you know what? I'm seeing something here. I keep saying, well, the rest of them are together are the Gentiles. No, he's going to gather the rest of Judah and Jerusalem. The captivity of them that's in all other countries. The first he gathers 144,000 here that's been gathered into this country. He gathers them into one place. And then he goes to all the other countries with the 144,000 and gathers the rest of the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, it says, and then after that, they go to the nations and get their brethren, the Gentiles. Or they may very well bring their Gentile brethren with them while they've been gathered. Okay, says the Yahshua, and I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Joel 3, 1 and 2. But to be delivered from captivity, and hear the Yahshua plead there for his people, one dare not spurn now his pleading. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return unto me, saith Yahweh, lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lain with, and the ways that thou set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whorish forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? Thou art the God of my youth. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith Yahweh, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against Yahweh the Elohim, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahweh. Turn, O backsliding children, saith Yahweh, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of the city and two of the family, and I will bring you to Zion. So he's putting out the call for those backsliding Israelites, wherever you may be. The Spirit will do his calling. And you know who you are and where you're at. And if you'll return unto him, he said, I'll bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastures according to mine heart, and which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding, and it shall come to pass, and you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith Yahweh. They shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of Yahweh. Neither shall it come to mind. Neither shall they remember it. Neither shall they visit it. Neither shall that be done anymore. At that time they shall call Yahweh from the throne of the Yahweh. The throne of his son Yahshua, because he's sitting upon the throne of David there. And all the nations shall be gathered unto it, unto the name of the Yahshua, unto Yahweh. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. And they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers, Jeremiah 3, 1-4 and 12-18. All right, it says, Howbeit, saith Yahweh, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner, sparring like fuller soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant. And okay, unto the Yahshua as in the days of old, and as in the former years, and I will come near unto you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Yahshua of hosts, for I am the Yahshua, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now what does it mean that he says, for I am the Yahshua? Now I put the son's name there. He says, I change not, therefore your sons of Jacob are not concerned. Well, Yahshua, when he came to this world, born of a woman, and taking on fallen humanity, so he took on that body of flesh and blood. It's like everyone else around him. And you know, when he arose and went to heaven, he stuck those scars in his hand with him. Shows where he did not change. He did not change his body at all. So he took on immortality because he didn't lay down immortality. He never did embrace mortality. He only embraced immortality by not sinning. And so he says, I took on the human body, but he says, I changed not. And if I change, he says, the reason why I changed not is because the sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because Yahshua doesn't change. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me. And I will return unto you, saith Yahshua of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? For the man robbed the Yahweh, yet you have robbed me. He said, will you rob the Father, Yahweh? He said, that's a question mark. He's asking them. He said, will you rob Yahweh, my Father? Yet you have robbed me, he says. You have robbed me, Yahshua, his son. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're a curse of the curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith Yahshua of the host. I notice that it's the delineating here between the Father and the Son by addressing the Son as the Yahshua of the host. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Yahshua of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Yahshua of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith Yahshua. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it is vain to serve Yahweh, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And that we have walked mournfully before the Yahshua of hosts. But you know, it just occurred to me that that lamb there in Exodus chapter 12 in the Old Testament, it was called the ordinance. The Passover was called an ordinance. It was also called the lamb itself. Well, you know, see, and I wonder, why is this word ordinance used here? And what profit is it that you have kept his ordinance? That's Yahweh's ordinance, the Father. Who is this ordinance? Yahshua is the ordinance. Because he's the antitypical Passover lamb. He's the antitypical Passover lamb. The lamb in the type is called an ordinance. The lamb in the antitype is called an ordinance. Yahshua is the ordinance. He is the ordinance of the Father. And that we have walked mournfully before the Yahshua of hosts. And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, that attempt Elohim are even delivered. So if the lamb represents the ordinance in the type, then the antitypical lamb, Yahshua, also represents the ordinance in the antitype, if he continues to offer himself as a sacrifice for a man's sin, in which he has to until probation closes. Then they that feared the Yahshua spake often one to another, and the Yahshua hearkened. Let's read that again. Then they that feared the Yahweh, the Father, spake often one to another, and the Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Yahshua, the Son, his Son. You get that now? And that thought upon his name, those that feared his son, Yahshua, and thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Yahshua of the host. Now this is Yahshua of the host, the son talking again. In that day when I make up my jewels. Okay, now we go back and reread that again. It says, then they that feared the Yahshua. Okay, put the son name in there now, predominantly. Spake often one to another, and the Yahshua hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Yahshua and that thought upon his name. Okay, now this is Yahshua exclusively here in control. And they shall be mine, saith the Yahshua of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. Malachi 3:1-18. Therefore, thus saith Yahshua Messiah. Let's do it again. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, the Father. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Now, this is the Father, and this stone represents is his Son, the ordinance. He says, I lay for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. So he said, I'll give my Son as an ordinance for man's sacrifice. And he says, I laid him as the cornerstone also, and as a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of life, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering nearer than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Yahshua shall rise up as in the Mount Perazim. He shall be whole wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Yahshua Messiah of the host a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Isaiah 28:16-23. As Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80. Testimonies, Ministries, page 300, Jeremiah 3:17. And as the descendants of Jacob, again, becoming a kingdom, appoint unto themselves one head, Hosea 1:11, David their king, Hosea 3:5, and seek the Yahweh their Elohim, it is evident that the church, in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message, will become a theocracy. Because it says, for the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and Shiloh is Yahshua, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. This brings in verse 10. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11 6 on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. The Lily of the Valley. I have found a friend in Yahshua. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need depends and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan kiss me sore, to Yashua, I shall safely resettle. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. I'll live my faith in thee, his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, and nothing now to fear. With his manna he, my hungry soul shall fill. And sweeping up to glory, to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever flow. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.